Whoa, wait a minute, huh? Hold up, what? Oh, okay. Did we just lose the fucking Canucks?
You're listening to Halford and Brough.
Here's a chance going to the goal, stand in front. They score!
Call an ambulance! Call an ambulance! But not for me.
High slot, Pedersen. Left circle, Miller. Shoots. Stopped by Soros. Rebound. Off the outside of the net. The Besser scores.
If Vancouver wins in overtime, Jason Brough promised he was going to buy everyone a beer.
Zadorov. Behind the net for Garland in front. Lindholm scores! Elias Lindholm wins it for the Canucks.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Monday. I sound terrible. It's Halford. It is Brough. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Kintech Studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. What a day. What a night, Jason. Good morning.
Good morning. Did he say buy a beer or buy a deer?
Yeah. Either way, I didn't buy anything. A-Dog, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Laddie, good morning to you.
Hello, hello.
And as if we didn't have enough on the ledger already, we got an intern in the house. Intern Zach, good morning to you.
And good morning right back.
Halford and Brough in the morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience a Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer. Today, we are in hour one of the program. Hour one is brought to you by North Star Metal Recycling. Vancouver's premier metal recycler pays the highest prices on scrap metal. North Star Metal Recycling, they recycle, you get paid. Visit them at 1170 Powell Street in Vancouver.
We are coming to you live from the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for?
Kintech. So that was a lot of fun yesterday. Maybe the most improbable come-from-behind victory that I have ever witnessed in my days as a Canucks fan. That was just the third time in franchise history that the Canucks scored an equalizing goal in the last 10 seconds of the third period of a playoff game. So that doesn't happen very often. It also doesn't happen with your third goalie in the first four games of a series. Nothing makes sense. Everything has gone crazy.
Do they have a stat for whether or not a guy missed an open, empty netter?
They did not.
Oh, okay.
But that also happened yesterday.
Right. Okay.
For those that are wondering,
do you think Colton Sissons woke up this morning and he was like, oh, well, it's a new day. And then he had the memory of hitting the post. He was like, God damn it.
Ah, crap. I should have scored that. For those that don't know, we had a big party yesterday at the Hollywood Theater.
And
big.
It sounds like it.
I had a real good time at that party. If you were to describe how I'm feeling right now, it's rough but worth it. Four words that sum up everything. And that really sums up yesterday. It was rough, but man, was it worth it. We got a lot to get into on the show today. We have a big show ahead on a Monday. Guest list begins at where? I don't even know. So 6:30, David Amber's going to join us. Host of Hockey Night Canada, Sportsnet, NHL. He put us on the broadcast yesterday. So for those that missed it, an unbelievable, impeccable like turn of events. The Canucks staged this crazy comeback. We captured it on video at the Hollywood. It makes the broadcast. Mm-hmm. There was that real meta moment where we were in the Hollywood Theater watching Hockey Night in Canada, and then we were on Hockey Night in Canada.
I like, did David Amber say there was 1,000+ there?
Yeah.
He was like, he was juicing the numbers like it was like Trump's inauguration or something like that. It was unbelievable.
I may have added a couple zeros.
We're like, yes, David, there was 1,000 people
I think
there
was 4,000 there. Capacity is 500.
Got my dad on the TV and everyone thought he was Cheech. I got like five texts. Cheech. Oh, I'm like, it's not Cheech.
He does have a killer stash.
Yeah.
So David Amber's going to join us at 6:30 to talk about yesterday's game. 7 o'clock, we will get the Pred side of things. In all of this madness and hysteria, Laddie, very astutely, and Andy brought it up this morning. They're like, what do you think Nashville's feeling right now? I'm like, probably pretty sad. So we'll talk to Adam Vingan from Nashville. He's covering this series for Sportsnet.ca about the Pred side of things. That's got to be the most deflating. I mean, I know that they lost the Stanley Cup final, but that's got to be the most deflating loss that a lot of those Preds fans have experienced live in person in the playoffs. So we'll talk to Adam at 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock, Kevin Woodley, NHL.com, In Goal Magazine. What a perfect time to have our regularly scheduled hit with Kev, because we don't know who's going to play next for the Vancouver Canucks in net. People have joked that it might be Tolopilo. I don't even think that's a joke anymore.
JD the Jerk texted in to the Dunbar Lumber text line. And he said, if the Canucks don't start Tolopilo in Game 5, they're absolute cowards. That's true. They should do it. Just be a weird flex.
Just the confidence.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
And they win. Imagine the Preds.
Yeah, we want to get them some work, you know.
Guess what record you guys own now?
You get a win, you get a win, you get a win, and you get a win.
We've decided to alternate through four goalies the rest of the way. Every game will be a different goalie.
Take that, Boston.
That's the meme. How can someone be so controversial yet so brave? That's it.
Try
right
to pre-scout
there.
That.
Yeah.
You don't know who's in net.
So working in reverse on the guest list, Woodley at 8, Vingan at 7, David Amber at 6:30. That's what's happening on the program today. Laddie, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it? You missed that?
What happened?
What Happened is brought to you by the BC Construction Safety Alliance, making safety simpler by giving construction companies the best in tools, resources, and safety training. Visit them online at bccsa.ca. As mentioned, it was a Brock Besser hat trick. It went as Elias Lindholm in overtime. The Canucks somehow rallied for a 4-3 victory against Nashville, taking a stranglehold 3-1 in their series at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday afternoon.
So we'll get into all the discussion points that that were raised by that game. But sometimes you look back on a game and you think, how in the heck did that happen? I'm not sure I have ever watched a Canucks game where that question is more appropriate. Like, seriously, how in the heavens did that happen? I know we all watched the game and we all know what happened, but let's go back a little. Let's just set the scene to where we were, which was not in a particularly good place, to where we are now, which is happy and hungover. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. There were 3 minutes left, and the Canucks were down by 2 goals. But, let's be honest, it felt like they were down by 100. I tweeted out, like, it might as well be 1 million. The Canucks had no answers out there. None. They could barely dump the puck in. Actually, I think Nils Höglander failed to dump the puck in at one point. So they can't even dump the puck in, let alone get a shot on goal. The Predators were winning all the battles. And I remember I leaned over to Halford at one point, and I was like, first of all, sober up. Second of all, You really have to tip your cap to the way the Preds are just dominating this game. And I don't want to say that it felt like the Canucks had given up on the game, because I don't think they had, but it did feel like the Canucks had kind of come to terms with the fact that the series was going to be headed back to Vancouver for Game 5, and they were going to have to go back to the drawing board. They were going to have to regroup and find a better plan against these Nashville Predators. Offensively speaking, the Canucks just could not create anything. I actually have to wonder how many people in Vancouver turned the game off. I thought about leaving the Hollywood. I was like, I'm going to beat traffic and get out of here.
I saw a few people do that, and I was thinking in my head, like, man, I wonder if this will bite them in the butt.
I think a few people did leave our watch party, but if they did, they made a massive mistake, because with 3 minutes left, Laddie, we're going to need you here, because we're going to go through some highlights. With 3 minutes left, the Canucks had the goalie pulled, and a celebration, because they actually managed to get set up in the Nashville end. It was progress.
We clapped.
And then this happened.
Again to Besser. Right circle. Back to Hughes. Left side into the middle of the ice. Near circle. Miller down low. Lindholm scoops it across. Besser scores! Brock Besser at the side of the net scores his second of the game in tight. And the Canucks get a 6-on-5 goal to cut into the Nashville lead.
Okay. So, it was 3-2 at that point. And by the way, Brock Besser, second goal of the game. He just barely got that over UC Saros' skate. Did you notice that?
He got it over UC Saros' skate.
But he got it in. There was a glimmer of hope.
There was also a lot of time left on the clock. I remember that point.
Yep.
We were all sitting there, and I remember distinctly saying, okay, the pull was early. The pull was early and aggressive, but it worked.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's interesting. Now, again, just to kind of set the tone of where we were at, I think we were on the same page. I don't remember much.
Hell of a move by Tocchet too, man.
I just remember thinking, okay, something finally went right. That's all, and that was it. I'm like, maybe it'll only be this one instance, but they went early and aggressive with the pull. They kind of squeaked a goal in, and we're like, okay.
Yeah, if they could score once with the empty net, maybe they could score twice. Alas, I love that word, alas. That hope was kind of short-lived because a minute after Besser scored to make it 3-2, the Preds gained possession. They got a 2-on-1. It was also a 3-on-2. All Colton Sissons had to do was fire. A simple backhand into the open net. It looked like it was over. It looked like that crowd in Nashville was going to get to celebrate a win. It was done. And then this happened.
Hughes at his own line, poked it free. It comes to Sissons, left wing, into the Vancouver zone. Backhander, he hit the post, but it stayed out. And Hughes clears it all the way down. This is going to be icing against Vancouver.
What? He missed? He missed? Mm-hmm. Colton Sissons misses that? He missed it? So, everyone on the Nashville bench thought it was in. They all had their hands up, and some of them had turned to their teammates on the bench to hug them, and they missed that. It actually didn't go in. Okay, so you know that was lucky.
So now at this point, I'm thinking, okay, two things have gone right this period. And I'm like, we're building momentum here. Things are happening, and the Sissons thing is the kind of one where it's like you didn't do anything for that to break your way. He just didn't score on an open.
He just didn't score on an open.
Yeah. So at this point, you're talking about, okay, well, you earned the first bit of good luck, and the second bit of good luck was really just luck. So now I'm like,
pure
okay,
luck. Yeah.
Okay, maybe momentum's turned, but still, there's not a ton of optimism because time is ticking down like crazy.
Yeah, alas, time was starting to run out. There was a minute left, and then just 30 seconds. Oh, well. Well, you know, listen, the Canucks didn't deserve to win this game. Anyway, I guess they'll go back to Vancouver tied 2-2. It's, you know, it's still a best of three, and the Canucks will have home ice advantage. They still have a pretty good chance to win this series, and then this happened.
And the puck is in the left corner. Yoshi gets it free, clears it around far point. Hughes holds in, made a move around Nyquist, who fell. High slot, Pettersson, left circle, Miller, shoots, stopped by Soros, rebound, off the outside of the net, then Besser scores! Brock Besser on his own rebound, ties the game at three with 6.2 seconds left in the third period. Besser picks up the hat trick, and the Canucks come all the way back, down 3-1 with 3 minutes left. And this game is tied.
And you, sir, Brendan Batchelor, have my attention.
Yeah.
Just like that, we've gone from a wildly disappointing performance to the, just a few minutes ago, unthinkable possibility of the Canucks winning this game. Brock Besser with the hat trick. The crowd in Nashville was stunned. That play by Quinn Hughes to corral the bouncing puck along the boards and then beat Nyquist to get the Canucks reset. Incredible. Of course, there was still overtime, so the game wasn't won yet. I remember back in 2004, the Canucks tied the game late against the Calgary Flames in Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Cook.
Jovo in the box.
And I celebrated, and I was like, surely they're going to win this game now. The Calgary Flames are going to be absolutely devastated by that. And then Marty Jelena scored like a minute into overtime. I was like, well, that Matt Cook goal was still a lot of fun in the moment. It would have been pretty cruel if the hockey gods let that happen again. Fortunately, we didn't have to wait long until this happened.
And Cole holds in right point again. Zadora behind the net for Garland in front. Lindholm scores! Lindholm wins it for the Canucks. 1:02 into overtime. He beats UC Saros from the slot, and Vancouver has a stranglehold on this series. They lead it 3-1, and they win it in Nashville 4-3.
I don't think that I've ever had a more dramatic, like, low to high in such a short period of time. Because it was the final 2 minutes and 49 seconds of regulation, and it was the first minute of overtime. All the action was crammed into, I mean, including the intermission, of course, but was crammed into that.
I had a problem even cheering because, like, my instinctive reflex was just shock. My hands were up in the air, and I was like, what just happened? Like, how did this happen?
I was more, to be honest, I celebrated the Besser equalizer more than the Lindholm winner, which sounds weird, but because the Besser equalizer was so late. So late and so improbable at that point. He scored with 8 seconds left. Like, it was done and dusted. That game was over. And in a lot, and I'm going to say this, justifiably over for the Canucks because they did not play well. And I was like, okay, valiant fight at the end. Like, if you want to look up what a smash and grab victory is in the sports dictionary, that was the dictionary definition of a smash and grab. They came in late.
The Canucks were actually all arrested after that game.
They should have been. There was larceny, theft, whatever. It was unreal. And, you know, on a personal note, to be like, when we decided to throw this the bash at the Hollywood, you can't. I was joking with Teresa and AJ from AJ's Pizza, who were selling pizza. It was great. And I said, the one rough thing about trying to schedule an event or do an event around a sports event is that you don't get to dictate how the party's going to go, right? If the team that you're supporting loses 12-0, your party sucks. And you could have the best party on the planet, but...
And I'll be honest with you, I was starting to think the Hollywood was kind of like a cursed venue for us because we saw a bunch of disappointing Canadian performances at the World Cup. You and I are big England supporters. We were there for a couple of England games, including the game where Harry Kane missed that penalty against France, and I was depressed for about a month after that. And now we're back there again, and it's kind of like, oh, the Canucks are just playing awful
so
right
it's
now.
3-1 Nashville with 3 minutes left, and Bruff and I are low-key muttering to each other, like, we're never coming back. And then... pandemonium, hysteria. Like, and now here's, I think, the important thing here. So we spent 15 minutes really trying to capture the moment and the essence and the vibe of the thing, but we should really, really discuss. And I think Rick Tocchet was the most sobering voice in all of this because he came in following that, probably the most emotional victory he's had as a coach, I would guess, as a head coach.
Sure.
And he came in and you can tell by the tone of his voice and his words, he was like, that was great. But that we can't keep doing that. I mean, that was the message, plain and clear as day, is that we got away with one. And if you look at it, you're up 3-1 in this series. It's probably one of the more undeserved 3-1 series leads in recent NHL playoff history. Is that fair to say, everybody?
Sure.
They are not full value for a 3-1 series lead. They've got a 3-1 series lead, and some people will say it's not how many, it's how do you do it. But
and you can credit them for their resilience. Absolutely. I mean, in game one, you think about how they needed that, 12 seconds of magic in order to come back in the third period and win that game. And you can credit them for their resilience last night. Absolutely. But, you know, I think the coaching staff and the players to a T will be saying, it's awesome that we won. We're going to enjoy it. And, you know, Halford and I certainly aren't telling you to not enjoy it. I mean, we were listening to Halford's voice. He enjoyed it a lot.
Enjoyed it more than anybody.
And it was awesome. But I think, you know, part of this show is going to be looking ahead to game five and wondering how that's going to go now.
So let's throw to the head coach now, laddie. This is Rick Tocchet. Just acknowledging, I think he even drops a look in here, a Halford and Bruff-esque look, where he said, look, let's be real. We've just been hanging on.
They played really well the last two games, Nashville. Who's kidding who? We had some moments the last two games where we hung in there. But we definitely have to correct some things. I'm trying to be as honest as possible. And I'm happy for the guys. I'm happy. But we know we got to play better. And we got to get some guys going. You got to start to win some battles. I mean, you know, it's not about hitting. It's about actually holding on to pucks and winning battles. Because they play a style. If you can win some battles, you're going to get your looks. But if you're not, you're not going to get looks. And it's, I think that's really what it comes down to. We got to get some guys to understand that. You know, you got to start to really, you got to step up your game a little bit. You have to. If they're going to play like this again, they're coming in game five. They're not changing. I know Bruno. He's a hell of a coach. His game plan's there. They're sending three at us, and if we're not ready for it, you know, we might not be able to be as resilient the next game.
Now, hopefully Tocchet is completely wrong about that, and the Preds are just psychologically destroyed.
Yeah.
They're just like, Colton, I can't believe you missed that. He's like, I know, I retire. I'm going to retire.
Hopefully some lots of infighting going on.
How could you do that?
Someone's blaming Gus Nyquist for sliding too far.
Gus, what were you doing against Quinn Hughes there? I mean, you just like basically like got swallowed up by a whirlpool or something.
I don't
like
know
that.
Where Saros gets blamed.
Yeah. Forsberg, you were clearly cheating on the OT winner. Yeah.
But I think it's worth noting that the Preds do have a pretty good coach in Andrew Brunette. They have dominated a large stretch of this series, and they do have a guy like Ryan O'Reilly who can lean on his experience responding well to painful losses in the playoffs. Think back to the 2018 run that the Blues went on. They were down 3-2 to the Stars, and they won games 6 and 7. They had that really painful loss to San Jose where they got screwed on a bad call, and they responded with 3 straight wins. They lost game 6 of the Stanley Cup final at home to the Bruins, and then when everyone was expecting the Bruins to romp in game 7 at home, they blew the Bruins out of the water.
Yep.
If I'm the Preds, I might be psychologically destroyed. I hope I'm psychologically destroyed. I hope they're so psychologically destroyed. But in reality, what's probably going to happen is they're going to be disappointed about this, and then they're going to talk themselves into the chances of coming back and winning this series because they're going to say, hey, guys, we shouldn't be short on confidence here. The way the last two games have gone,
yeah,
we, for the most part, not only dominated the Canucks, but we bullied the Canucks. Mm-hmm. We outbattled them. We were knocking Quinn Hughes around. We were knocking Elias Pettersson over, and he had no fight back. Like, we still have a great opportunity in this series to go into Vancouver, win game 5, bring it back to Nashville. Our crowd's going to be like, all right, we'll give you one more chance.
Sure, yeah,
we'll give you one more chance, or we're going to cheer for you. If you win that game 6, then it's a game 7, and who knows what happens. They could easily go from absolutely destroyed after that game to, like, psychologically fired up mm-hmm. to come back in this series.
Yeah, I mean, all that's on the table because this Canucks team right now, I would classify them being in a somewhat fragile state. When you're playing your third goalie through the first 4 games of the opening round of the playoffs, you've gone through some stuff, right? You know, you look at those guys and he's like, he's been through some stuff. That's the Canucks right now. And amazingly, for all of us, pregame narratives that the goaltending situation has brought us, the goaltending actually hasn't been a huge factor on the ice. Like, Seelov's played very well yesterday.
Yeah.
He did not cost the team in the slightest.
First goal was a little bit dicey, but you know, whatever. You know?
I will
What's
get...
that?
Wasn't it deflected?
Was it ultimately? I thought
it was off the shaft of the stick.
At any rate.
Gives him a bit of a break.
Like Halford's right. Like, he's been really good.
Jankowski got credited with the tip.
Okay.
On that one. But point being, in a game where there were a million other things to talk about, like the goaltending, amazingly, the fact that they were on their third string netminder wasn't a huge talking point post-game because of all the other things that happened.
Props right? to Ian Clark.
Yeah, I mean, it is a remarkable story. I do want to play a little bit of the audio from Talk It because at this point, it's funny. They're like, well, you know what? We're already this far down the depth chart. We feel good with whoever's going in net. All the confidence in the world in Artie Seelovs, who just wins games for this team. Rick Tocchet on his third string netminder, getting the win, a 4-3 overtime victory over Nashville in Nashville on Sunday.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when we decided not, you know, that we were going with Artie there, nobody was down. And we talked about him in Lafayette last year, pressures. You know, I don't care. That's still a big stage there. Abbotsford, you know, he played some beat gets from down there. He doesn't look nervous to me. Like, even before the game, like, he doesn't say too much. Kind of, I actually leave him alone because, you know, sometimes goalies be left alone. But he just, I don't think the moment's too big for him. I like his demeanor. I think watching Casey and watching Demmer is something that he's watched the last couple of years for him. Helped.
So people will ask, who do you think should start game 5 if they're both healthy and ready to go? Should it be DeSmith or should it be Seelovs? And my cowardly answer is I will defer to Ian Clark. And
such
I will say that over and over again. But here's what I wonder. Okay? And we've had this conversation already. Is it possible that the Canucks look at this situation and go, okay, Demko's out, probably not coming back.
Okay.
Right? Probably not coming back.
I'm with you so far.
We're trying to win the cup here, not just one series. Who has the highest ceiling?
Sure.
On a goalie, who has like, it's kind of like that Simpsons episode where, or was it Family Guy? Like, it was like the mystery box, right? Yeah, it was a Family Guy,
sure.
Right? Like,
yep.
It could even be a boat.
Yeah, you take the boat, which would be DeSmith, or the mystery box, right? And the mystery box could be anything. Yeah, it could be a boat.
Yep.
It could be another DeSmith. But what if it's a Demko? We've seen these stories in the NHL in the past where, you know, relatively unknown goalies
sure.
go on crazy runs. And they're young. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the cases, they're really young and they're really inexperienced, like more inexperienced than Casey DeSmith.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they look at Seelovs and they think, if we're trying to win this thing, does he give us a higher ceiling than Casey DeSmith gives us? Casey DeSmith might give us a higher floor, but there might be way more variance in the possibilities with Seelovs. That's what I wonder about it.
Laddie, what do you think?
Would the higher floor goaltender not be more appealing to you because the Canucks are a strong team? They don't need star goaltending to win games.
There's logic in that.
Would you not go with the goalie that is more likely to give you a consistent effort rather than the guy who could be very possibly boom or
there's
bust?
Logic in that too.
Not against Edmonton. Because I think Edmonton is just like, I know they didn't have their best game last night in L.A., I think in the next series, these are all big ifs, okay, still. If the Canucks manage to get past Nashville and if Edmonton puts away L.A., which is less of an if, I think. Although they only got like 13 shots last night. Anyway.
Franchise record, fewest shots in the game.
I just don't see them getting past the Oilers with DeSmith in net. And I just wonder if they might be tempted to just be like, you don't know this guy, you're getting him. And maybe there's that miracle story.
When you bring that up, the miracle story, I'll say this. There is something, and I know it sounds ridiculous to anyone that's based in logic and stats and scouting profiles. There is something in being like, maybe he goes on a heater. Maybe we just catch lightning in a bottle and it doesn't make any sense.
I just don't think there's any goalie in the world that McDavid looks at and goes, I don't know.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. You can't look at it like that because you have to look at it. It's like we only have two choices. And one is the 32-year-old career backup who we kind of know and everyone kind of knows. And the other is just a wild card. Like you said, probably a lower floor. Like if it goes bad, it could go real bad. But if it goes good, that's the decision that you're not with.
Seelovs looked so calm in net last night. Like that's what really struck me. And not to say DeSmith hasn't at times as well, but he just looked like I was impressed immediately when the game started. Like he looked so cool back there, so collected.
Was it because he had the ice bag on his head?
Yeah, that was part of it. And he worked during the game too, which was weird. It was just something about the way he was playing. I'm like, man, they got to start this guy next game. Like he's just, I think he's going to get into his zone and they're going
to
ride on it.
Well, we'll talk to Kevin Woodley about that coming up later in the show. But coming up next, it's going to be David Amber joining us to talk about last night's game. We're so thankful of David Amber that he took video of our watch party at the Hollywood Theater and put it on live on the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast. It was amazing. It was a great moment for the show. It was a great moment for all the fans that were there. They were at the watch party, and then they're like looking on TV. They're like, "Isn't that our watch party?"
Yeah.
Wait, am I
on the TV?
It was really awesome. So we'll talk to David Amber about that.
Did you like my panorama?
Yeah, it was good.
Yes, A-Dog. Yeah.
He was on a swivel chair.
By the way, that's A-Dog's note there that he wants. Yes, A-Dog took the video.
Give me all the credit.
A-Dog took the video.
Hey, by the way, do you want to hear an old man moment that I had on the winning goal?
Sure do.
Okay, so I took my camera out, and I'm like, I'm going to get some video here. And I'm like panning around, and I'm like, this is going to be amazing. I can't wait to post this. And then I even flipped the phone around and like had it on me, and I'm like cheering. And then I look at the phone, I was like, oh, it's on the photo setting.
Yeah. Such a boomer move.
Why is nobody
damn
moving?
It, and why is the flashlight on? What's going on here? This is. I was very confused. At any rate, we'll talk to David Amber coming up next.
Sky Avenue Kitchen and Lounge, Discover Surrey's newest luxury dining experience. Experience the richness of Canadian cuisine prepared by a Michelin recommended chef. Reserve your table today at skyavenue.com. You're listening to the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio
and Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
Zadorov behind the net for Garland in front. Lindholm scores! Elias Lindholm wins it for the Canucks! 1:02 into overtime! He beats Juuse Saros from the slot! And Vancouver has a stranglehold on this series!
6:35 on a Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff in the morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour one of the program. David Amber is going to join us in just a moment here. Hour one of this program is brought to you by North Star Metal Recycling. Vancouver's premier metal recycler pays the highest prices on scrap metal. North Star Metal Recycling, they recycle, you get paid. Visit them at 1170 Powell Street in Vancouver. To the phone lines we go. Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet NHL host David Amber here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. I've been wondering all night, did Jason ante up? Did he buy that round for that viewing party you guys had yesterday? That was, Elliot said you were buying a round.
I did not, because it sounded like you almost forgot my name when you were talking about the viewing party. So I was so disappointed by that. No, I ran out of there pretty quick. There was a lot of people there, and they were all in very drinky moods. So I needed to get out of there. I didn't make the promise. Elliot did, and I believe, I'm not 100% sure because I haven't seen the paychecks, but I think Elliot makes more money than me.
Elliot can afford it. I didn't forget your name. You know what the problem with TV? You have a producer in your ear. I don't know, is Andy in your ear? Is Andy like chirping at you while we're doing the segment?
Oh, God. They both are. I've got two guys that are always in my ear constantly.
God.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
It's so distracting. Yeah. So he, you know, Matt Marsham, who does a great job, was in my ear saying, we're running the video, we're running the video. I'm like, well, wait. Like, had me off. So, you know, yeah.
Helper I'm just kidding.
I've got you guys. I've been on this show for a few years now. I got you covered, no problem. But that viewing party looked epic, and I'm sure there were some pretty despondent people, you know, up to the 57th minute of that game. But, man, that's, if you're going to win, that's a great way to pull a victory out of nowhere. And really, as you guys just had going to break or coming out of break, you definitely have a stranglehold on the series now. So what a change in complexion. I'm sure you guys would have a very different show today if that 3-1 score had held up.
So, yeah, you saw our reaction and what we were doing at the time. And it was, we did not expect to be in that moment, like watching ourselves on the post-game Hockey Night in Canada broadcast in a celebratory way, because you mentioned for 57 minutes, it wasn't great. What were you, from your perspective, where were you guys at around minute 57? Like, were you already prepping for what you're going to talk about? They need to change adjustments moving forward. Like, what was the vibe prior to this epic comeback by the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, we were going to have a very different post-game show. I wasn't going to say it was going to feel more like a eulogy, but we certainly were going to question a lot of things. And there's still, listen, those questions remain, right? You can't play that sort of game and expect to have success on a regular basis. I'm sure Rick Tocchet wasn't doing cartwheels after the game. You know, again, I'm wondering about Pettersson. I'm wondering about, you know, this is a dynamic player. I don't need to tell your audience, like, we've seen Pettersson at his best. He's incredible. And he just hasn't had any type of traction offensively in this entire series. So I do wonder if you have to get back the lotto line. I do wonder if, you know, you have to find a way to inject more offensive, you know, opportunities and creativity and what that means. And it's not all centered around Pettersson, but certainly he's the one of the big catalysts, right? You can't be asking all of your periphery guys, all of your complementary players to step up in the fashion they have all year. You definitely, you know, we've seen it in the Winnipeg Avalanche series. Like, my God, when Makar and MacKinnon, you know, want to take over a game or take over a moment, they're able to do that. We saw that with Edmonton and the success they've had with McDavid, etc. You're going to need to have any type of long-term success. Miller, who's been very good, Pettersson, who's been very good, Quinn, you know, you're going to need these guys to be exceptional in the playoffs. It doesn't really matter what they were able to achieve in the regular season. So that was going to be one of the storylines. And obviously, you know, the goaltending question marks, that's a great storyline. Even if the Canucks had lost yesterday, guys, like, it's pretty cool to see this kid step in, 23-year-old, and first playoff game, hadn't played anywhere in the last 2.5 weeks. It could have been a disaster, and he was great. I mean, he really was calm, cool, and collected. And I like the fact that, you know, Elliot did show he had a bit of pedigree of playing in these big, high leverage moments, playing in the World Championships and winning a medal for Latvia. I mean, that's a pretty cool storyline. So we were gonna touch on that, but a lot of it was gonna be centered around, you know, what's up with the Canucks. You know, the offense has just gone, you know, kind of gone silent for the last two games.
What did you guys say on the broadcast or maybe even behind the scenes after Nashville's first goal and Petey got buried in the Nashville celebration? And it wasn't by accident either. Lauzon definitely meant to shove him. What did you think of that? And also Petey's just like lack of reaction. He didn't seem to get too upset.
Well, Elliot, I mean, we did a little thing on it. Elliot thought it was funny, you know, just, you know, got caught in the scrum essentially. But yeah, and you know, we have Kevin BX on set. You think Kevin BX is going to get knocked down in a scrum and just sort of get up and dust himself off? Like, you kind of did expect there'd be some type of conversation or melee or some sort of pushback on some level. I don't know if Jeremy Lauzon purposely plowed into him, and he certainly didn't get out of the way.
No, he sure did. I watched the replay about 100 times. Like, because it was partly, I was like, this is kind of funny, but also, like, that was totally intentional. And wouldn't it match with the Preds' game plan of bullying Pettersson and Hughes as well?
Yes, 100%. And I think we keyed on that in our intermission. You know, they are targeting Quinn Hughes. They are targeting Pettersson. And we see that in every single series. I mean, that's the recipe to success. How do you get these guys off their game? How do you slow them down? And to Quinn Hughes' credit, I mean, he's played through it. He missed a couple of shifts. We were wondering, oh, man, is he hurt? What's going on? He comes back. He does a Savardian spinorama and almost sets up a goal in the very next shift where he returned to the ice. So, you know, listen, on home ice, this is a big game on Tuesday. This is a big game tomorrow, not just because you have the chance to wrap up the series. You don't want to give any life to Nashville. And you also have the ability, if you're Rick Tocchet and the coaching staff, to choose when Quinn Hughes is out there, to choose the matchups for Pettersson, to choose, you know, you have that last call. So you can dictate a little bit of who's playing against whom and not allow the Predators to have their way, essentially matching up against Quinn Hughes or Pettersson. So I really do look at this game Tuesday as a really big opportunity for Vancouver. Because, you know, listen, a few moments there, a few moments here, you know, that post by Sissons, that was the game. You know, it was reminiscent of 2014 women's final U.S.-Canada in Sochi at the Olympics. So that was the game right there. And we're talking an inch inside that post and it's game over. So the point I'm making here is just, I think this Tuesday game's got to be treated with a sense of urgency from Vancouver, because this could be a 2-2 series. And quite frankly, this could be a 3-1 Nashville lead, right? It's very rare teams, you know, take 12 shots and win a game. So I would think Vancouver's going to approach it with that kind of urgency. And quite frankly, you know what, guys, if you're looking for long-term success, and you know this, it was really important even for the Rangers to win last night. Sweep away Washington. Get the rest. Let the nicked up guys get treated. It is a marathon, right? And if Vancouver really has its eyes on making a deep run here, you know, winning in five games and having 3, 4, 5 days off is huge. Absolutely huge, especially considering you're onto your third string goalie and some of your star players haven't been playing up to the level you'd expect.
David, I do want to ask you about a couple of the other series in the NHL. I have a hot take for you. It's actually probably not all that hot, but here's my prediction. If the Leafs go out like the way they've been playing against the Bruins and they don't have any fight, or frankly, if they just get eliminated by the Bruins, Mitch Marner will not be a Leaf next season. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even, that's a tough one. Here's one thing I'll say, and there's been a ton, listen, you should see the Toronto Twitter, the Leaf Twitter in the last 48 to 72 hours has been like, you guys would be proud. I've seen the Vancouver Twitter. I saw the Canucks Twitter before the game was over last night, and people were calling for this, that, and the other. And then you guys ended up coming back and winning. But there's a lot of speculation that this relationship sort of come to an end. And the one thing I got to preface it with is this is really up to Mitch Marner, guys. Like, his no movement kicked in last July 1st. If the Leafs really wanted to do something and have the power of doing something with Mitch Marner, that would have been previous to last July 1st. The cards are now in Mitch Marner's, you know, it's up to him. He's from Toronto. You know, he's recently married. he might have zero interest in leaving. Having said that, you know, I'm sure they're going to have some really important conversations. And if Brad Treliving makes it clear we're not prepared to sign a long-term deal with you, then, you know, then conceivably Mitch Marner and his group will say, yeah, you know what, a fresh scene could really benefit me. Mitch Marner is an elite talent. He's an exceptionally skilled player. And he's not the exclusive reason why the Leafs have had trouble in the postseason, but he's been part of that whole core issue of having trouble in the postseason. And maybe he'll feel greener pastures elsewhere. We've seen that with other players. Talk to Nazem Kadri, talk to Phil Kessel. You know, there's been a lot of guys, talk to Tyler Bozak. There's been a lot of guys who've left Toronto under different circumstances. And when they've gone elsewhere and they've played a different role and in a different environment, they found success. So maybe that'll be the case. And from the Leafs standpoint, you know, you love the skill of Mitch Marner. You also would probably love to have $10.9 million of cap space to spend in a different way if that's what you so choose. So last year was really interesting in the offseason for Winnipeg. We knew there was going to be issues, and they made a lot of different substantial moves. This year, if the Leafs don't find a way past the Boston Bruins in these next three games, I assume Toronto will be a very interesting spot to keep an eye on in the offseason.
Do you see any comparisons between Marner and Pettersson in Vancouver where you really do wonder if the pressure of the market sometimes gets to them?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I'm not in Vancouver. It's harder for me to speak to that. One thing I'll say about Mitch Marner is it's not lack of caring. Like, he really, really, really cares. Some might say he cares too much. He reads and sees and he knows what's being said. And it's funny because he'll say, well, I don't really care what anyone says. But, you know, he's a human and these things do affect people. So I don't know. I can't speak to Pettersson. What I can speak to, guys, is, you know, Nylander had the best three and a half months of his career, these first 3 months, and then he signed the $92 million deal, and he struggled a bit at times and certainly struggled down the stretch for the Leafs. Pettersson had a pretty damn good start to the season, then, you know, kind of got a little bit cooler, then they signed that deal, and I think trying to live up and justify the terms of these massive deals, you know, it's only human, right? It's only human to try and to maybe try too hard at times. And I'm not sure if that's what's going on with Pettersson, but, you know, it's maybe not coincidental that he and Nylander and Marner, you asked about Marner. Well, Marner's always tried to justify this very big, you know, I'm an $11 million guy. There's not a lot of $11 million guys in the league. You have to live up to those expectations in a marketplace where the fan base, you know, the burden of everything that's happened. You guys came into the league in 1970, and it's been sort of one disappointment after another. You've come so close in 94 and 11. You know, you got to the final in the early 80s with Roger Nielsen. You've come so close, but you haven't accomplished what you set out to do. And these guys, to some degree, have to carry some of that burden with them. And certainly, you know, the Leafs story is the same way. So I do wonder if the marketplace, not that it's too big for them, but there's just a lot of pressure. And when you put the contract beside their name as well, it adds another layer of pressure there.
David, this was great. As always, thank you very much for doing it. Thanks again for the shout out yesterday and getting us on the broadcast. Loved it and appreciate it very much.
Yeah, well, thank your producer, Andy. He said we're having a viewing party. So, oh my God, well, let's see what it looks like. And it looked like such a fun scene. You know what? I'm really happy for the Canucks fans. And I know it was nail-biting for 2.5 hours. But that's a game Canuck Nation's not going to forget for many, many years, because that was just an unbelievable finish. And let's see if they can finish the job tomorrow night. So thanks for having me on, guys. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. That's David Amber, Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet NHL host here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We did not mention the Winnipeg Jets in our rundown of the Canadian teams with David. The Jets are now facing elimination. They are down 3-1 to the Avalanche, and that series has just gone all kinds of wrong for Winnipeg after they won that opener 7-6.
What happened to the stingy Jets? You know what it kind of reminds me of? You mentioned how they won the opener 7-6. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that kind of remind you of the Battle of Alberta when the Flames came into that series and they were supposed to be the stingy team? They were the Daryl Sutter coached Calgary Flames, and they were good defensively, and then they played that wild game one against the Oilers and they won it, But then they lost the rest of the series and they kind of just forgot how they played hockey.
Winnipeg has put Colorado on the power play, I think, for this entire series. Like, I think they played the entire series.
That's also an issue.
5-on-4. And their penalty kill right now is going at a hot 60%. 60.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there, and I know Hellebuck hasn't been great. He actually got yanked yesterday, finally. I almost felt like it was mercy after a while because he's given up a ton of goals. I think he's given up 19 goals over 4 games, Hellebuck. And
that's going to be one of those embarrassing Vezina trophy pickups, you know? Like,
it was like,
I hope nobody watched the playoffs.
I don't even want it.
It'll be like that year when Dirk Nowitzki won the NBA's MVP, and then they were a 1 seed, and they got bounced by the 8-seeded Golden State Warriors.
Right.
He had to go get his trophy in the midst of this epic collapse. He's like, I hate my life right now. But I don't. I mean,
actually, it's pretty good.
Now, the other interesting thing here is that the players are starting to chirp about the game plan and the way that they're going about their business, and the pushback is coming from Bonus, who's saying, wait a minute. We're not losing because of X's and O's. We're losing because we have no discipline and we're taking a million penalties. But I think it was Nino Niederreiter who said, we need to change it up. We need to change the game plan. We need to do something different. So I am very interested to see how this series plays out. Not necessarily if the Jets are going to get back in it, but if they lose in this kind of fashion, let's say they go out meekly in 5 or 6 games. Now you're talking about 2 playoffs in a row where they kind of flamed out in spectacular fashion. And last year, it wasn't about Bonus. It was about the guys that they needed to get rid of, and they came back, and they had this great bounce-back season. But if you do that 2 years in a row under the same head coach, he's going to face some heat without question because he got the quote-unquote problem guys out of the room, mm-hmm. and he was able to, you know, implement certain things that he wanted to implement. But if the results are the same in the first round of the playoffs, that's going to be on Bonus, fair or not, right or wrong. Like, he's going to take some serious heat here.
So we're going to talk to Adam Vingan next from Sportsnet, but he knows the Nashville Predators very well. He covered them for a number of years in Nashville. So we'll talk to him next. In hour 3, we're going to talk to Kevin Woodley, goaltending guru in Vancouver. And what better time to talk to Kev about the goaltending situation in Vancouver? We can also talk to him about Connor Hellebuck in Winnipeg as well. We're going to have lots of time to read your texts, so text them into the Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. Dunbar Lumber with 3 stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Buterson, Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. Tell us maybe a story about how you were watching the game last night. Would anyone have the courage to share if they turned the game off?
Someone already has.
Really?
We'll read it on the other
side. Okay, we can read that. I want to get your thoughts on Game 5, what you expect to see from both teams, whether or not you think Elias Pettersson's play can be salvaged in these playoffs, you know, let alone this series. What do you think they should do with him? If anything, text them all 650-650 into the Dunbar Lumber text line.
All Canucks playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Merit Kitchens. Canadian-made beauty, strength, and craftsmanship. Find an authorized kitchen designer near you today at meritkitchens.com. Your tailored kitchen awaits.